goodness. Roll it.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Well, shuffleboard here.
So, we haven't had a meeting in a while. Sorry about that. But this is just pretty much a similar agenda to what we've had at our last meeting. I don't think we met in June and July. So, we haven't had a meeting for basically since May.
So, we need a wayfinding.
Yes.
This would be it.
All right.
Welcome.
Apologies for being late. I'm on a clock at the state parks.
So oh, you're not late, and thank you for coming. I'm glad that someone from state parks is
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
It really, in my mind, would probably be a good idea to go around and introduce yourself so we'll have that record. Peggy, I work for the city.
Greg Checker, City Public Works.
Chuck Fornash, volunteer member.
Stan Rowe, volunteer.
Wendy Engler, volunteer, and I'm on the Nye Beach Parking Committee also.
Okay. And I'm Claude Crocker. I'm operations manager for the coastal region. I'm John Allen's the region manager who got the initial invitation. He is presently occupied with a dock and asked me to stand in
something minor.
I think he'd rather be here, but but he asked me to kind of sit in.
How do you spell your last name?
Crocker, C-R-O-C-K-E-R.
And Robin Dermison, I'm a small business owner in South Beach.
Right, we talked on the phone.
Yes, thank you, Peggy.
So, just for folks who haven't been here before, this is an ad hoc committee. It's not officially appointed by the city, but it is officially sanctioned, and it was initially created to develop wayfinding signage for the entire community, and some of the people in this room have been here from the very beginning when the signs were designed. They worked with the wayfinding consultant and on and on and on. And the group sort of stopped for a while after the wayfinding plan was approved. But since some of the signage has gone up, people have noticed that, you know, there are inadequacies or things that just need to be tweaked. So we've started meeting again. In May or April, actually I think it was April, we had a road trip and Greg drove us around town. Made me really dizzy, but he drove us around town.
He was a wild driver.
Yeah, and we made notes. We started at the north end at the visitor center on the way to the lighthouse and went down to South Beach and developed some notes about what we thought needed to be tweaked, and that's what this is, the notes from the ad hoc wayfinding road trip. And then we, at our May 4th meeting, we discussed the notes, but we also talked about some of these other things that are on the agenda. So at this point, I guess we should just go down the agenda and then we can talk about the wayfinding notes later. But Greg, have you heard anything regarding the beach access sign design?
Other than what I reported at last meeting, no.
I don't remember what you said. Sorry.
After our first meeting, I talked to a consultant, and she was excited about it. So without us sanctioning her to do anything, she sent us a few ideas, and I presented to the committee, and that's as far as it's gone.
So what do we need to do now?
Well, budget-wise, there is no money for paying for the consultant.
So in order to get a beach access sign designed, we'd
have to enter into a contract with them to do
Meyer it. Reed needs to do it. Okay, let me talk to Jim.
And I have some follow-up on this year's current budget on that at some point.
No money?
No one, yes.
Okay.
How's that for typical government?
Double talk?
Yeah.
Okay then. We also talked about relocation of signs, and I remember in particular there was a concern that at 9th and Herbert there are signs that point people to Nye Beach but not to the bayfront. And I think we talked about that in your department, right, Greg? And did anything get moved around there?
Well, Chick and I visited an intersection at Fall and Bay, and we had some discussion on that. But if I questioned by, I thought we wanted to present that to the committee before we did anything official.
Well, I think the one Peggy's referring to is the one at Herbert and I.
Yeah. Which by is the hospital, the, kind of.
Well, no, it would be just before, if you're leaving here, it would be before you get to La Roca. And just
yeah,
before you get to
that's
State Park.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, and the idea was there was a sign that pointed up to a little bit to Night Beach, which is fine, but there was no sign pointed down the hill to the Bayfront. And so it was like, well, could we co-mingle a sign there? And Greg determined that we couldn't because of the size.
The height requirements.
So there wasn't enough vertical room there. There is a post erected just this side of the current Night Beach Up the Hill sign that's unoccupied.
But which
I think, I don't know why it's there. It looks like it's there waiting for a Bayfront sign to get put on it. It's a new post with no signage.
There was a sign there, and I got orders from the city manager to replace it with a sign pointing down to the Bayfront. I contacted the sign company and wanted them to give me an estimate on cost for it. And after that, the public works director and city manager talked, and it was decided not to do anything
at all.
So I was told to go ahead and cancel the order.
And I talked to Jim Vogtberg prior to that cancellation notification, where he told me it would cost $500 to do a Night Beach sign. And he indicated to me that, yeah, that was something that was going to happen. But for whatever reason, it sounds like that, he changed his mind.
Well, I'll talk to him again about it. You and I can pay for it out of our salaries.
How big is the Night Beach sign? I mean, there's some that are bigger. Is it?
It's a smaller sign.
Yeah. Is it really $500?
Well, we can't. That was the first comment. The day that I saw it go up and said, "Hey, why can't we have two signs here?" Yeah. We can't because of the vertical space.
I heard that.
Period.
But
so then there is an existing post that sits there unoccupied, and you said something was removed from there. If so, what was it?
I wasn't aware that anything was removed.
Okay, well then there's a sign.
There was a sign on that post pointing to go west to the Night Beach, directing.
Oh, is that gone now?
No. There. If you approach La Roca from here,
right, you're heading south on 9th Street.
There is a unoccupied signpost that I assumed was going to facilitate the Bayfront down the hill sign.
This is by La Roca.
Yeah, just before you get to La Roca. Then just a hair farther, still before you get to La Roca, there's a sign that points up the hill to go to Night Beach, which is fine. So when I saw that signpost there, maybe it's been there a little time, but when I saw that signpost, I thought, oh good, they're making their progress towards erecting the appropriate signage. And anyway, so it's very interesting that the developments that Greg has stated took place.
Well, I'll talk to Jim. I'm making a list of things to talk to him about. I mean, I'm sure that I might not be persuasive, but I'll do my best.
Well, I might have been the opposite. I might have been the opposite when I went in there, because he accused me twice of trying to remove all the Go to Night Beach signs.
Well, that's not.
I said, no, Jim, I'm not trying to do that.
Well, there's one by the hospital that should be removed because it doesn't lead anywhere. It says Nye Beach and it sends you off. And then there's no other signs you see before you get to 101.
Well, yeah, that's another subject. There are a lot of signs in the system that point to an area or a feature that don't have sufficient follow-up signs to be effective. And that may be one of them. But the one for the Bayfront's real simple. It's just common sense from day one. It's like, oh, there's a void there, let's correct it. And to tell you the truth, the frustration over little things like that as a committee member, the amount of time and energy put into it are pretty deflating.
I can tell you what Meyer Reed was thinking, because I walked down there with an employee, Meyer Reed, and she says, we're putting this sign that indicates to the Bayfront on Herbert. And they have done that. It's approximately across from that restroom with the Art Deco design.
There's one that's just downhill from the State Parks offices.
Yes.
That that does point to the big
park.
Yes. And it's been there since this process started.
It was part of the
original signage, and there's not a problem with that, but it doesn't facilitate the viewer on 9th Street headed south.
It's too far down the hill.
It's too far down.
You're already on the way to the bayfront by the time
you
see it.
Yeah. Well, a good point. If the budget's so tight, pull it off there and put it in a more effective spot.
Because by the time you're down to below the State Parks office, you're practically at the bayfront.
Right, you can see it from there.
Yeah.
Right.
But part of some of the idea is the restroom's there and there's a map across the street. So if you're kind of orienting yourself and you're looking at the map, that it's not a bad thing to have that sign there. And obviously they thought it was a reasonable thing to put there at one time. So anyway, if we could... We don't have a whole lot of time, so maybe just know that we still want to solve that problem, and maybe Wendy's idea is a short-term solution, but it seems odd that we have to go to this level to get us.
Is there one of the wayfinding maps on the restroom at 9th and Hillary?
Yes, ma'am.
There is?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but the RV, they just put the RV parking there, so I think...
Right.
I don't know if the Bayfront Parking Committee is going to figure out where they want the RV signs.
Well,
but that's
another subject on the Bayfront, west end of the Bayfront, near Bay Street Pier. There's a sign that says RV parking with an arrow pointing east on the Bayfront. There's no salt follow-up signage to tell an RV parker where to park at all.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to connect the two together with that, then there would be an RV pointed up the hill at Fall Street Canyon Way to facilitate that. But that's another example of a sign that creates some interest without any follow-up.
Yeah.
Okay. At Canyon Way, we need a sign pointing up the hill to get to the 9th Street parking lot, right?
That's a possibility. If that's where we... Well, when they put the sign there originally, what was the intent of the sign? Was it to take people to the east end of the bay, down by the Embarcadero?
Yes.
But we've received a little bit of consternation about that and removed the sign saying RV parking on the east end of the bayfront, facilitating that area already because of a complaint or various other reasons. So we've removed it on the end of the bayfront where it was actually destined to actually do its work. And maintained it in an area way away from there with no follow-up to the area that's now been removed from the desire to have people park there.
Yeah, I get I'm tracking. And I think we're going to be able to fix that because that parking lot is nearing completion. It's not finished. It will be overlaid and the car charging station will be completed. And I think a lot more people will be parking there, but you have an excellent point and I wrote it down. So.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and the RV is pointed up there.
Right, we've talked about two or three meetings in a row.
The RV sign points nowhere.
Yeah, it does now, but I mean, I think that there's going to be drive-through RV parking there is how they're going to strike it in that lot. Right. So, I mean, I'm sure people will park there.
Yeah.
If they can just get directed up there.
Yeah.
They'll love having that space.
Yes.
So.
Yes. All right, well, with that. Visitor map at Canyon Way and Bay Boulevard. What did we ever decide on that? Is there one? Do we need one? It's up the hill a little bit, right?
Well, there's a whole bunch of issues floating around that area that I don't know whether we can verbalize it.
I thought
the idea with that was that it was a little bit complex, and there was some thought that the Bayfront Association and the parking district related to the Bayfront would possibly come to some consensus about how to handle that area at Fall Street and Bay Boulevard as it relates to that issue and others.
Has that happened, Chuck, do you know?
No. I mean, everybody's so busy. They're,
it's just not a good time.
And most people, they just don't, unless they're into it, it's just like, you know, they just want somebody else to figure it out and do it.
Is the Bayfront Parking Committee meeting yet?
I'm not on that committee, but they are meeting. Derek Tokos is, the facilitator, and there is a group of people, Chris Torp from Inscapes, and
I think Janet Webster's on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they should be, well, Fran had some really good ideas about that space.
Yeah, there's several suggestions that...
I'll ask Derek about that.
And I think Tim suggested that, and this goes probably to the... Tim from Public Works suggested that any signage that take place in terms of corrections or additions come out of budgets other than wayfinding, i.e. parking district budgets and others. That was the what I got out of a lot of that, which if that's the case, that's been verbalized, then the parking district for the Bayfront should spend the money to put the sign up on 9th Street.
Okay.
If that's what's been suggested by staff, that the monies needed to make those corrections can't come out of the budget because we don't have it, then...
I'll talk to Derek, and hopefully we'll have an update at the next meeting. The electric car charging station signage, I think that Derek kind of mentioned that the other night at the town hall meeting. Do you recall that, Stan?
They're still waiting to hear from ODOT, what ODOT's going to put up. We're not the only community getting an electric vehicle charging station there.
Lincoln City has had one for a few years now.
There's three of them up there.
And so they probably already have a sign design.
They do have a sign. When you're driving into Lincoln City from the south, they're pretty quickly when you come into the town.
Is this ODOT or local?
I'm guessing... I don't want to get in trouble at home over this. I'm speculating the city put those up.
That would be my guess, too. I think that what we're getting here is something that's more recent than what happened in Lincoln City.
Yeah, this is a very different kind of charging station.
But it's not one of a kind here in Newport. There's others like this that are being put up in the state, so that it's throughout the state that they're going to be doing signage.
But I think the signage that they're using in Lincoln City may be exactly what's going to be used in other places. So we need to ask Derek about it.
Hopefully it would be for consistency. And
now, I don't know how it's set up in Lincoln City, but this particular one, it's not a city charging station. It is done by a private contractor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's in the city's best interest to sign that so that we have our share of the electric car visitors. We don't want them all in Lincoln City.
Right.
They can only go so far, I think. And that's where they're going because that's where they can get free charges.
There's an interest.
I don't think it's free. I think there's a charge.
When did they kick the charge in?
I could be wrong on that, but I think I'd have to double check with Derek.
It was definitely free when it started. I don't know if they're now charging, but I know for sure it was free.
There's an interest if a sign goes up indicating electric vehicle recharging station at that time, ODOT could also indicate parking and restrooms down there because the signs down there aren't really visible. It's like when how close do you have to get to signs before they're visible? But anyway, the signs down there are not particularly for traffic on 101.
Right.
And the merchants in that area want to start getting these vehicles stopping in Newport rather than just passing through Newport.
Right, that's right.
Even if they're just stopping because it's a restroom and they should be informed there is parking. They don't have to always park on 101.
Do you think it would be advantageous for us to start having ODOT folks or an ODOT person come?
I do.
Well, I would suggest that the committee generate ideas what they want to present to ODOT and then have them here at a particular meeting.
Are we boring our visitors today? Do they have something for the agenda that we should maybe get to?
Well, you know, Chuck has been asking that we have folks from state parks come because we do have some things that are on our road trip list.
I noted several.
Yeah, that relate to state parks, especially South Beach. And so...
And Yaquina Bay.
Yeah, and so we thought that it would be good to have somebody come to our meetings, sure, if you don't mind.
Yeah, not at all. Agenda.
And then Robin, she and I have been sort of talking a little bit, and she wanted to know when our next meeting was. And I don't know whether you have a particular issue you'd like to bring up, but you're definitely going to have that opportunity.
Well, no, I'm just interested in the process, and I have business in South Beach, and ODOT, my current situation with ODOT and between the city is that ODOT regulates where the signs, how the signs go. You have, you know, you put in an application and you get a sign. And then the second people come off of the highway, now it's under the city jurisdiction, and the signage issues are huge. I have a nice blue tourist information sign, and it says, go down past the stoplight, take a left. And now people don't know how to find me because there's no signage back there. So I've just been working with private landowners to get permission. First they say yes, no, then they decide no, and they need a fee, and they, you know, and I'm trying to work with Newport Sign Company, and Ken's just extremely busy. So my whole thing being in Aquarium Village is that we're off the beaten path. And I saw the signs go up down on the Bayfront and the other districts, and, you know, started asking questions, spoke to Derek several times about what about South Beach and where are we. And I understand the political process that if you're not involved in it, you're not going to have be able to have your say or have a, you know, any kind of input. So I just thought I'd come and listen and see what's happening. If I can offer anything, I'm more than willing to, or if there's, you know, committee work, I'm more than willing to do that as well.
Well, I think that initially it was planned that we were going to, after the consultant did their work and made the recommendations and had the plan developed, that we would, the city would hire a contractor and install all the signs at once. That's what Alan wanted to do when he was here. And what's happened is that Alan left, and we didn't get the budget to install all the signs at once, so we've been going in phases. And I think that while all the planned signs may be in right now, it's a work in progress.
Sure.
And so, and I believe that's one of the reasons that this group has come back together, is because they've seen flaws in the plan and places where we need signage that we don't have signage, and tweaks to the map, and on and on and on. So this is the place.
Yeah.
And you're on my list now, so.
Thank you. That's good.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I honestly, I've been talking about this, and I've been talking to various people for probably 7 months, so I'm here now.
Yeah.
Chuck's been talking to people for
seven years
or more.
Well, that's it. I mean, I've talked to different people, and that's what I hear, is that there's all these, you know, small groups. And, you know, I've had my nose to the grindstone. I've been doing my own little thing in my own little space, and I'm back.
Yeah, so that's great to hear. Well,
yeah, it is great because, I mean, this isn't an appointed task force or anything, so anybody can come and anyone can be a part of it. So,
well, I know it's been going on for a long time, so I don't want to come in and cause any issues or anything else, but if I can be a supporter, I can at least understand what's going on so that I can advocate for my business, my little realm in the world. And you
know. Absolutely. I'm glad you're here.
Well, I would like to say, while we find things that we think need tweaking and fixing, I think we've come a really long way with having what we have now and having the maps, and we have a framework anyway to start tweaking things.
I completely agree.
So I think we've made a lot of progress from the time, because from 1993, when Mike Schoberg was just trying to do his visioning and everything, city wayfinding was always on the agenda, and we never got one single sign in the city until this committee, really.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way in a short period of time, really, given
right.
the overall time frame.
That's exactly right. I mean, honestly, every time I see one of those signs, I think,
yeah, it actually happened.
Wow, so. It really happened. Yeah,
so thank you, Greg, too, for getting those up. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, I have to agree. I mean, we didn't have anything. In fact, I tell the story about the first time I came to Newport, I didn't even know there was a beach here.
Yeah.
I didn't. And I thought, okay, I have been to Newport. I don't need to go back. Little did I know. The next thing on the agenda is the installation of Cheryl's in South Beach to the state park, and that's something I think Chuck brought up.
I'm a volunteer on the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee, and we've been entertaining the idea of using Cheryl's to indicate the parts of the street that don't have bicycle facilities that need to have some general awareness that bikes coexist with the vehicles. And so they've been doing some Cheryl's on 6th Street in Newport as a test project in front of the bike shop, and then east and west. And with that as a backdrop, our committee has been trying to facilitate putting Cheryl's elsewhere, and talk to John Allen and also Dennis Comfort about putting some Cheryl's on the Jetty Road so that we could connect the city's mixed-use path
with the
Jetty Trail going to the day-use area. And so you guys have been... Your team has been real supportive of that and said, hey, yeah, we'll do whatever we can do to help. Maybe even paint them for you.
Sure. So, as state agency, we have process like everyone. But what I always try and get the statement up front is that is it doable or not? And these kind of things we see as very doable. And, in fact, we're very supportive. We like the idea of the parks being an integrated part of the community. They're important to the community and to visitors to this area. So anything that we can do, in fact, in the past, we had some of the early versions of the city's scenic attractions, the one that had the little icons on it.
Right.
And that kind of thing. I think we had those at both South Beach and Beverly Beach pretty prominently displayed. So, that's pretty much the simple message I have is that if you present us with something that we can compare to our own comprehensive plans and see where they fit, we're very willing to work with you guys. I mean, if there's a cost involved with the sign, we would look to you to provide that. If it's something like striping and simple kind of things, then our rangers are real good at carrying out those kind of things, and we can get them done if there's a consistent design that's being used throughout the city plan, we would just fit it in.
Yeah, the other thing in South Beach, or related to South Beach, is that ODOT has approved in pretty specific ways putting Cheryl's on the Quinta Bay Bridge, which is just further use of it by different folks. But in addition to the Cheryl's in South Beach, signage for the state park proper is something that we're really anxious to facilitate.
I'd kind of like to hear a little more about what your ideas are. That is one of the reasons I came today, is we're aware of that, and that you got some ideas for your Quinta Bay.
Well, in South Beach, if you're a visitor, 26th Street, which is the left turn that you take that turns into Jetty Road, if you're going out to the South Jetty, that 26th Street looks like a residential street. There's no indication if you're going to or fro that there's this beautiful viewing area, trails, beach access,
right,
etc.
Just this way,
right? Who knew? And so the city's putting a welcome to South Beach sign somewhere down in that area, and there's a cluster of signs that are needed in underneath the bridge, and so we were hoping that we could work with you guys to get a fleet of icons, South Beach day use area or whatever the terminology is.
Okay, the ones that we use are
And then the beach access, maybe the binocular thing for viewing, and maybe a trail one for the trail, and that way people would see, there's three or four things to do there, and there's something.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. And then that's the kind of thing we could provide there. Those are kind of standard signs we have in stock in our sign shop or our facility over in the valley. All the parks. We have a little catalog of real standard signs that we use in all of our parks, and those kind of little informational things we can definitely do those.
Same thing at Egg Beach Wayside. A lot of our conversations about Egg Beach Wayside happened before the barge got there or the dock got there. But the idea of Egg Beach Wayside...
We'd like to get back on those conversations off of the dock.
Once it falls off the radar again, we want to let people know that there's, for one thing, a city trail that goes, you know, underneath 101 from Agate Beach Wayside up towards Big Creek Park. Right. So if we could, if this little icon's there that said trail, picnicking, beach access, and then...
You know, that I actually need to bring that up is that a lot of you guys, I'm sure, remember Steve Dickinson, and I was actually the district manager of and overseeing Beverly Beach at the time that trail was put in. So I worked with them informally, and they let them stage some materials and so forth in the parking lot there. And he dropped that sign, that big sign, in on the way out the door, and I never had. And it's unpermitted. I mean, it's not that it can't be there. It's there, and we're fine with it. But we actually need to formalize the process so that we want our sign on it. It's in our state park, and yet it says City of Newport on it.
Right. And it's not very visible though.
It's not. It's back up in the trees. So you're right. If we want to capture the visitors as they come into the park and let them know there's more to this park than a parking lot.
Right.
You know, that it continues on into some really nice areas that connect with the, you know, the city parks. It'd be good to get something there. And when we do that, I can get a permit in place for the sign that Steve put in there anyhow, and we can get a park shield.
So that's what we need, is a permit for that sign?
Or we do, yeah. We would not normally allow anybody to place a structure of that size on state park property without a permit. And you know, Steve knew, but he just did it.
He's on the way out.
And it's okay.
He was retiring. He thought he could do anything.
Well, what most folks don't know is Steve worked for state parks before coming to the city.
Yeah, so. And it's
he knew
all
the ins and outs.
It's all okay. It's just that for folks further down the road, and I'm thinking, you know, future state park managers, because that's, you know, that's part of our facility inventory now, is like, what is this? I just know we're on our inventory, and you know, and if it starts to become derelict, do we replace it? Does the city replace it? That's
right.
What permits define, and we're fine with having it, because there's clearly this linkage, the end of the state park property and the beginning of the trail system. But you're right, it's back in the trees, until you stumble on it, you don't even know it's there. But yeah, it's well built. It's a real stout structure, so we ought to take advantage of it, make it a little more visible, get some additional signage on it. But I agree, somewhere closer to the park entrance, direct visitors' attention, if they so desire, down to that end of the park.
I think he probably thought he was dealing with ODOT.
I think he knew what he was doing, but that's okay. it's not a big thing. It's just that, you know, like I said, for the future. So every, you know, when it's a whole different set of managers on both sides, both, you know, city and state parks, that people know what this thing is and where it came from. You know,
we
have enough of these mystery things going on as it is.
I'm sorry.
Did you know that sign was unpermitted? You don't have to confess in front of everybody. You can confess to me later.
Yeah. No, it's been there for about 5-6 years now. So it hasn't risen to the level for either myself or the park manager, Patty Green, down there to you know, really make an issue of it. It's kind of one of those things we'll eventually. That's why I told her, if this thing perks up to where it's got your attention, then life's good for you. So,
But
I said, you know, keep it in mind that if an opportunity to interact with the city, and so that's why I brought it up, is this it's actually kind of a good opportunity to, just for awareness, and if we work with you to do other signs, we can kind of incorporate it as a package.
We'll make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Then Yaquina Bay State Park, there's a lot happening there on the going down to the bayfront. They're rebuilding those, adding sidewalks under the bridge there. And that was another area where we wanted to try to consider putting sharrows. I don't know if the state park would allow sharrows in the state park proper. The idea of people leaving Nye Beach on their bicycles. They're like breadcrumbs, if you will. They feel a little bit more welcomed when they see the Sharrow icon for bikes. And
I don't you know, I kind of defer to some of our design folks when these kind of things, and but I don't see any compelling reason why we couldn't. You know, I mean, we're working obviously at a larger scale cooperatively with the city to get sidewalks and everything else. Why wouldn't we kind of do the rest of it and do it right?
That would be really nice, though, because you can't really ride on the sidewalk, or there's not a sidewalk, and like the breadcrumb thing.
It welcomes you, it makes awareness raise at all, at both the driver and the bicyclist.
So. Right.
So what about, is there anything you wanted to add about any other state park while we... Can?
Well, the three that we mentioned, we got the luxury of having, you know, three state park features right in the city and more. So those are three that our whole goal is to get that ecotourism thing and get people to stay an extra day, not only in the state park, but in the hotels and enjoy Newport a little bit more. So all this stuff is...
My perspective is that, you know, these things also benefit our residents, you know, the people who live here, and it's the quality of life kind of thing. Yep. And then for state parks, we've always, you know, kind of, we're a statewide system, and so they're owned by the people of the state, and they use them, and the visitors from out of state use them. But they're also local. Every state park in our system is valued, we hope, by the community it's located in, and so to us, this is a, you know, a kind of a no-brainer that we'd want to be integrated into any kind of comprehensive wayfinding or signage type program.
Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned you have a catalog of state park icons that you use. Mm-hmm. Is that available online, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't. I haven't seen it recently, but it was kind of just published and you know, sent out to all the parks as a little, very thin little binder, because it's not a huge selection. I'll look into that. If it is, it's probably not online to the general public, because we have our own kind of, I don't know if you call it a intranet sort of thing within the department. So, like everybody, we're trying to put more of our data and system management plans and that sort of stuff, so that they're available electronically and we work with them. I suspect that it's probably in that system, but I can certainly get it in some format, what we have available, and make it available to the committee here and to look at what, you know, and we can talk about what ought to go
on. And those are State Park Brown and State Park
specific. Yeah, they're real. I mean, they are.
They're only four state parks. We might get an idea from them.
Yeah. I don't know that we couldn't use them, you know, if, again, there's always process, but I don't see, you know, anything that's a compelling reason not to. If we have these signs they've been thought out as you know, kind of the universal symbols that everyone would recognize, and you see them everywhere. I mean, we probably copied them from somebody else and ourselves. So, if there's something that we can provide, and even if it's not on a post with a state park shield, or you know, our advanced signage and that kind of stuff, I don't know that we couldn't use them.
Right.
You know, it's part of this effort.
Well, I think a key to our wayfinding system is repeating the same symbol over and over, and always using the same symbol to mean, like, parking. Like, when I was on the Bayfront, there's three symbols that are being used for parking, and that was something I was going to bring up later. But anyway, that was why I was asking, because I think the more the same symbol, it means the same thing, then people go, okay, beach, or...
Right. And that was part of the frustration over this process, because we're paying through the nose for these really expensive... specific signs to our little project, and there's generic stuff out there, and that's not across the board, but where we can use the already established signage,
or the same as the state parks,
exactly.
But maybe the same, a different color. Anyway, we could
there's some benefits there.
Yeah.
You know, we have, for example, provided we have two. Kind of universal signs at our own state park beach accesses that are, one is prohibited activities, which we go back and forth from saying no to saying please don't. I mean, we've swapped that sign so many times because no is so unfriendly, and on the other hand, it's prohibited, you know. So how do you say prohibited without saying no? But it's because it's an important one. They're kind of the biggies about driving and fires and that sort of stuff. And then a beach hazard, a safety one, you know, that again tells people don't turn your back on the ocean, that kind of thing. We provided those signs to private property owners, such as Salishan, for example, who have busy beach access off of their private property and had an interest in kind of protecting their visitors and informing their visitors. They have to pay for them. They're, as you just heard, signs are not inexpensive. I've always been surprised myself how costly they are for something small. But what that tells me is that we don't have a policy that prohibits us providing those, and especially to another public entity like the city, you know, I'll make a note here to try and get that to you in some format, either a hard copy printed out that shows you what we have, and some costs if you were interested in, for example, three or four, like the binocular one or a trail sign, something like that, and you wanted, you know, numerous of the same ones so you could repeat the symbol throughout.
Does the state make those, or do you farm them out?
We variety of sources, but we actually get some of our signs, and I think these may be an example, actually through prisons. You know, who they have some Oregon Correction Enterprises is, you know, kind of the behind the walls activities that inmates do, and they the fire rings for our campground, and they make signs. I know they make some signs. I think they make these. They make the picnic tables. Just a variety of. They have a kind of an enterprise operation going. I think I got the measure 17 many years ago that kind of mandated that.
Right.
And so state agencies now get what they can through them, and signs is a kind of a logical one for them to set up a sign shop where they can produce those.
Anyone else on that before we jump to the notes on the road trip?
But I would like to defer that and go to G and then backtrack.
That's what I was hoping to do. Thank you,
Greg,
the mind reader.
I'm going to ask you to excuse me if you have nothing further on specific to state parks at this time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have John. You know, Peggy, let me leave my card.
Yeah,
chances are I'm.
I
would be the person attending for John. I told him I want new cards. It says Region Operations Support Manager. I want to say Region Troubleshooter. It's a cooler title.
I think I like the word ombudsman better.
The ombudsman is pretty cool,
thank
too.
Thank you for that, and thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Keep up
so
the good work.
So you work at a Newport office?
I'm in the region office with John now.
He's just down the street.
Yeah, okay, I was... I was the district manager for this area and responsible for Cape Lookout, Devil's Lake, Beverly Beach, and South Beach State Parks. But it became apparent in our own organization, John is responsible for the entire Oregon coast, and he's just buried.
Yeah.
So what our director did was actually tap three district managers throughout the state, because our state is divided into three large geographic regions, and said we'd like you to basically be the wingman for the region manager. They've got too much on their plates, and I can be his proxy. I can take on projects and program kind of level stuff for the whole coast that he simply can't. So it's a newish role, but it's one I think is important, and I'm actually enjoying it because I learned a lot. It's kind of a change. I've been in operations for 25 years and sort of hands-on, you know, park management. So it's kind of fun to let someone else get the 10 o'clock call that the sewer pumps are down. and attend these meetings and work with folks like you. So, please let me know your next meeting, and I'll try and get a list of the, you know, the icon signs that are available.
And we'll try to come up with some more specifics about what.
The takeaway message for you on all three of the park things is I think everything I've heard is doable. We just like everyone, we have to see a plan. We have to compare it to our own plan. We have to give you some feedback that says, you know, we like this or we don't like that. But, you know, we can make it happen.
Thank you. And Mark McConnell is our mayor.
Yes, I know Mark.
Exchange cards with you.
Okay.
So, now we're jumping to the QR code, right, Greg? I was hoping we could. Go ahead.
Chamber sent over QR code for, I can't remember what was specifically linked to.
I think it links to the Discover Newport website.
So, excuse me, what is a QR?
You know those little funny codes that you'll see?
Instead of barcodes?
Oh, like the Facebook things?
Mm-hmm.
They're square?
Yeah.
And if you have a smartphone, like I don't, but most everyone else does, then you can scan it with your smartphone and it would bring up the Discover Newport website.
I saw the statistic that there's only about 15% of people have those smartphones.
Well, I hope you're right, because now I don't feel so bad.
I'm okay.
I have been whining about this for months. At least I have an iPad now.
Maybe Santa will bring you one.
I seriously doubt it. Santa is far too frugal.
Anyway, the chamber sent us the QR code for this. Actually, she sent it to you, and you sent it to me. I sent that information to Ken at Newport Signs, and I was figuring on if these were decals, just sticking them on all of the existing tourist maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect.
And I guessed, actually I was at, can't remember the name, the mall in Lincoln City?
The Tangier.
Tangier. And they had one of those on a poster. So without having a measuring tape, I took out two coins. It was a quarter and a half tall. So I sent that information over to Ken, and Ken said for 12 of them, it cost about $65.
Which, well, that would be totally worth it in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, another thing.
$5 a piece then. Yeah.
That seems like a really good price. The other thing is, it might be that there are other, like, private businesses in the community that might also like them.
It would include them. Well, I'm thinking like all the motels,
right,
would include it on their brochures and information, because of course the more people know about what there is to do in Newport, the longer they stay.
Exactly. And the chamber would. I mean, the chamber probably already uses that on their stuff, but yeah, it might be something. I mean, I think that that's a small price to pay for that, because more and more people are using those.
And we may, once that gets around, we may get requested to have others put on that too.
So is it like a sticker, or this would be, you know, higher level something that would survive weather and
like, yeah, driver's license,
yes,
year sticker thing.
I call it a metallic sticker, because that's what it reminds me of.
It's like the new, yeah. Okay.
What you put in your driver, your plate.
It has to have a white background, right?
Yes.
So that the reader can sort of.
Correct.
But I'm wondering if we could also at the same time have him produce just plain paper stickers that people could put on different things, like inside on a poster, or.
Or could you copy it onto something to. I don't know if they copy.
Oh, yeah, they copy.
Like,
yeah, oh, yeah,
so absolutely. A business could have it.
Yeah.
And
the chamber
could
make a master sheet.
Yeah. The chamber could do the sticker part, but I think that'd be really great to have those on those maps.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I want to get a chance to backtrack on some of the things that we have discussed. Budget.
But, Greg, before we leave the QR thing, so where will we go from here on the QR? Are you going to go ahead and get a dozen
of them? Well, that's why I brought up budget.
You know we can find 70 bucks.
You need more than 12, or do you only have 12 maps?
At present, there's a total of 12 maps. Obviously, as we update and do things, we're going to have to continue to get more stickers and so forth. But at least this is a beginning, a place to go.
But when you have new signs made, that would just be incorporated on the template that they put on the new sign.
We could do that, yes.
Because, we always have to revise that anyway, right?
Right.
Correct. That's something else to bring up. But that's why I wanted to bring up budget. Originally, as the budget was being made, I was told that the wayfinding sign budget was anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000. At least that's what was being proposed. As it turned out, and this is as of this week, there was never a budget put in for the wayfinding signs. However, what I've also been told, there is a supplemental budget proposed for $30,000. Finance hasn't had the time to initiate that, and finance in the past has basically said, if it's not budgeted, you will not spend money for it.
Well, I know that I talked with Jim and I talked about whether that would be enough, and I mean, even though it's probably not enough, it was at least something, so it didn't make it into the budget.
I asked the budget committee member the last night of the budget meeting what was in the fund, what was being allocated, and Mr. Vogler said $12,000.
That was my opinion all along.
It's not there.
And it's not there.
It is not there, but it would just take a supplemental to do it. This is the information that I've gotten from the Public Works Director. And again, that's of this week. So it's not as if we don't have the money, it's just it's not official yet.
Well, there's also discretionary money in the room tax, tourism side of room tax dollars.
Which is really what this is.
Jim could authorize to use that money for the signs without even having
that very well could be. But that brings up other issues. In order to start the last phase for putting the signs in the South Beach area, as we talked about, with this $30,000, we could go ahead and do that. But before putting the contract out for this, we had talked about revising the visitor maps, and it would be nice to have that done before we go out for bid.
Oh, yeah. We need to revise the maps. Why would we put a map up there that doesn't?
Exactly. Yeah. So with that in mind, it would be nice not to have a full ad hoc committee, but some folks from the ad hoc committee get together and we talk about how we want to revise the maps.
I think that's a great idea, Greg. So who wants to volunteer? Chuck?
Chuck is your map guy.
So Chuck
would not let any details go by.
Yeah.
Will you work with Greg? Is that okay, Greg, the two of you?
Yes.
Would you like to be involved in that, Robin?
Sure.
Robin wants to work with you. How about that?
That'd be awesome.
So I would say, when you get a final version, just send it around to everybody so we can all look at it, because you never know what somebody else might catch.
The $30,000 would allow us to not only contract with Mayor Reed to do the update on the signs, but also for the beach access signs and so forth. Yeah.
But to actually produce them, right? Get it revised and actually produce the signs, make the signs.
Did you say the updates for the signs as opposed to the maps, or are you using it?
No, I'm saying earlier we talked about the beach access signs.
Uh-huh.
So
updating the map and designing the beach access.
Correct. I'm confused why Meyer Reed has to design a beach access, and now what we have laying on the table there.
Well, that brings up my other point I wanted to regress on. Chuck and I took this sign out in the field to see what kind of impact it has. And if you're, I can't remember, 100 feet away?
Yeah, I don't recall, but the idea was maybe is it too small a type to be legible far enough away so somebody reads it, it sinks in before they get by it? And is it big enough?
If you're 100 feet away...
It's X amount of inches per...
Exactly, and that's the way Mayor Reed would do that. And that's the way the signs are made that you see now, based upon speed and everything else. Mm-hmm. They take all that into how they do that. We could read this. We were 20 feet away, and we could read this very legibly. But the committee had talked about in the past, the intent was as you're walking by, you'd be able to see the sign, not necessarily driving by. If you drove by and you drove slow enough, yes, you could see that. But in terms of is it adequate, it may not be.
So basically just a caution, if we're going to go ahead and do it, make sure that you look.
Remember, there's
a couple of different people look at it and say, yeah, that works for
there's
me.
There's a big arrow associated with it underneath.
And the arrow
is going to attract attention first, because you can see that there's an arrow pointing. What is it the arrow pointing to? And then you see what it is. I don't see that you really... The places we're talking about putting those are all places where traffic is going very slow.
Or
there's a lot of pedestrian traffic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay.
The fastest way to get an answer to that is just call Ken at Newport Signs. He gave me all
the
stats.
He's the one that did this.
Oh, okay. Because he gave me all the stats of this and that, and it needs to
correct.
Be so many inches.
Now, to backtrack, I told Ken we wanted it on this size. So he fit it to that. He didn't fit it to the specifications you're talking about.
Did he have an anecdotal thing saying, well, I'll do it, but, or, you know, this is borderline, or did he have any feedback that way? Did he say, yeah, I'll do this thing, but?
But aren't these signs that we're talking about putting up are all in places where we already know we have slow traffic, people looking, trying to find the beach, that kind of thing?
In most cases,
it may be very adequate. The issue was just be aware that...
It's a 25 mile an hour zone sign.
Where you put it?
Highway
right,
101
right.
sign.
So
it would get lost on Highway 101.
Right.
No
so the concept walk away, drive, or the takeaway is that where we put it needs to be appropriate based upon the site distance, speed, and user group.
Yeah.
And not use it where, not pretend to use it someplace where it would be a problem.
If it's necessary to go to Meyer Reed, they're probably going to want $2,000.
In terms of this sign, I wondered if I could take that to the Nye Beach Parking Committee meeting that's coming up. And we'll take it down to the turnaround where we desperately need it, and we can go down there and look at it as a committee. And I think, and that brings up something at, that I wanted to bring up, is that this committee should have all members from representatives from the district parking committees, or we need to work together with the three parking committees, and then if there's one in South Beach or whoever wants to represent South Beach, because we talk about all this stuff in our parking committee, and it's so critical that the signage works with our parking plan. And I am on the parking committee, so that's good, but I mean, I think I'd love to work with City Center and Bayfront and have representatives from that parking committee here. Well,
I'll see if I can make that happen. And also, would it be helpful to all of you if we could convince Derek to come?
Well, we talked about that last time.
Well,
so
I'm still working on it.
if you're trying to decide whether or not this works or not, go to LaserQuick and have color copies made and laminated and stick it on a piece of plastic cardboard and stick it up on the signpost with a couple of nails for a few days and see if it works.
Play
That's not that hard to do.
That'd be great. I'd love to be able to try it out.
Yeah, I mean, you can make temporary. It wouldn't last more than the season, but at least you could put it up there and see if it's working.
Oh my gosh. The Night Beats Merchants and Parking Committee will cheer if we could just get a beach sign.
I've got a bunch of campaign signs that are plastic that have nothing, no use anymore. I mean, that's all it takes.
Uh-huh.
That's all it would take.
Yeah, if that's the direction you want to take, I would suggest you talk to the Public Works Director. He may...
It would slow it way down.
Yeah.
I would just do it.
Just do it.
We're just going to do a pie. Okay.
Give me this and I'll go do it.
So okay.
I'll be glad to argue with anybody who says
you can. And then the
charge it to the city.
And then get the arrow
I'll
one,
for
too.
Myself, okay.
And the arrow one, too.
I don't know. Do you have any extra arrows right now? Do you have arrows?
No, but Ken could make it real easily.
He could do this on a piece of paper with the arrow.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way to try to figure out if it's working.
I think it's just like a little pilot project. It's nothing permanent. So.
Yeah.
But Mark, and then with the parking committee, if we could get some, or we could talk with you about where we want them, because there's really a lot of specific.
Just go do it.
Well, I need that. If you're going to make copies,
I will help you do it. But if you guys can go do it too, either way.
Okay, we need an arrow. So where do we get an arrow?
Board sign?
Can we charge it to the city account?
Actually, I could talk to Ken and give him the specifications that Mayor Reed had, and he could do it up.
Okay, great.
I guess it works either way, doesn't it? It doesn't have an upside, doesn't have a top or bottom.
Yeah.
So you can just turn it
whatever way.
Fine.
Yeah. But I mean, just make some up.
Just one, Wendy? How many?
Just
laminate. All you need is one that you can have color copied after that.
Yeah.
Okay. What, fancy stuff, because if you're going to laminate it, it won't matter.
Why don't you do this? Go talk to Ken and tell him what you want and have Ken contact me and I can send him all the information.
Okay.
And see, and just see if it works. See what kind of comments you get from people who reacts to it. Because you can second guess this until you're dead,
right?
And nothing will ever get put up. Or you can try it.
And so
cheaply as possible.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
of getting rows to laminate them too. Is that what you were thinking?
Okay. Yeah. Because if you don't laminate them, they're not going to last.
No.
Yeah. They're not going to last through the first fog.
Well, he might even be able to laminate them right there.
Or he might be able to produce them on. Some kind of a hard stock. It has to be something that that can survive the wind a little bit.
Like for a few months.
Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously it's not something that's going to be put up and last for 5 years or 10 years or whatever you expect the life expectancy of those signs is, but at least you can see and you could mess with them, you could move them around.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
And the final thing I had, kind of backtracking, was a suggestion he had before the start of the meeting, and that was, now that the charging station is being in progress, is there something, and it was talked about previously also, is there something a universal sign ODOT has that could be put at Herbert and 101?
I think ODOT is doing that. Derek would let you know, could let you know what's happening there. But I think ODOT has very specific things that they need to have, that they located that there because it was off the high, right in the central area.
Now,
and the city center merchants, so the city center parking district folks have already talked about what kind of signage they think needs to happen, because that whole parking lot's getting redone.
Correct.
So there's a bunch of signage that's going to occur there, like RV parking and that kind of thing. Are they going to use, are the city center parking district people tuned into the wayfinding stuff that we have?
Well, I think they are through Derek.
Okay.
Derek attends all their meetings, but before our next meeting, I'll try to make sure we have one person from every parking district here plus Derek.
Yeah, because they need to be, whatever signage they're planning for that parking lot needs to be wayfinding stuff wherever it's, where the regulations allow it.
That intersection, 9th and Herbert, is already pretty busy.
Yeah.
So I'll work with Eric.
The 101 and Herbert, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how you put any sign up there and get people to figure out where they're going and what they're doing.
Well, and the sign
you need
really
a big roundabout there. People can just dive around.
Well, and that's going to be really important to have that car charging info on 101 because the electric car people will need to know where they...
Well, they, you know, they have connections where they know. I mean, they have a web. There's websites and things, so they know where the stations are. They physically
plan their trip.
They may not be able
to
find them. Yeah. You know, down on 9th and Herbert, it's a little bit tough to know how to get there. But they know there's one there, so they will find it eventually.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the signs aren't about really. Oh, I need to go charge my car. It's more about
where it is.
There are existing signs on 101 and Herbert that might come down and be replaced by better signs. Mm-hmm. The merchants have an interest that there be signage on 101 and Herbert indicating restrooms and parking down there in addition to the electric vehicle charging.
I think the parking district folks have talked about
that. Yeah, there is now a parking sign, but because it's the city's, it's not right on 101. It's in the city jurisdiction rather than the ODOT jurisdiction, which isn't, it's an improvement over no sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there is a restroom sign yet, is there?
No.
And that's a standardized sign. That's just a little
Universal
on there, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else from anybody?
I had just one or two quick little things. I know we got to leave, but when Greg and I did a 3-hour drive around through Newport,
and I still haven't deciphered those notes yet.
One of the things during that drive around that we noted was that if you're coming down Highway 20 from Toledo, there's an opportunity. To direct people onto 9th Street via whatever is that, Coos or Benton? Anyway, I'm trying to say, if you were trying to go to the rec center coming down Highway 20, that street that everybody turns on there to go to the co-op, etc., that turns into 9th Street, that 9th Street corridor with Walgreens coming in is going to be a huge deal. That's going to be a major conduit on that side. And so if we get some ODOT signage there that would indicate, among other things, the Bayfront, with the idea being that the more places that you can get them off that 101 and 20 intersection pointed to where they need to go or want to go, the better. And then they don't go to 101 and 20, which is a mess. They've already made that left turn down the 9th Street corridor. They've seen opportunity to go to the Bayfront. They've seen opportunities to go to Night Beach. They're off 101, and they're going, oh, Night Beach, Bayfront, I'm off 101. I haven't gotten in that whole world. So that corridor is really huge, and we need to try to get ODOT to okay some signage that would speak to that corridor.
There,
and then once you're on that 9th Street corridor, we're still, as a Bayfront group, lobbying for the Herbert down the hill and an Abbey down the hill, 9th and Abbey.
Mm-hmm. We do have a meeting coming up with ODOT on the 10th of August. And so if we can have a specific list of things that are ODOT issues to continue to hand to them, we hand them the list every time. But if you can at least take out of your decipher the pieces and parts that are ODOT related, I'd be more than happy to hand them the list and stare them in the face once again and say, what are you doing about these signs?
And I talked to Tim Gross yesterday about the city's putting the crosswalk improvements throughout 101 from the north end by 15th Street.
Through the grant,
so they'll have these real formalized crosswalk areas in the non-signalized intersection starting at 15th Street on the north and ending down by Kumyong's on the south.
There's a really nice graphic that Tim produced for our town hall meeting last week. Have you seen that?
No.
It's on our website.
But
as
these little nodes are created, there may or may not be signage opportunities, and they're also going to create pedestrian intersection points that could benefit by bolstering the message of wayfinding.
Yeah.
because people are going to be channeled to go on these things or welcome to go on these things.
So might be good places for maps in the future.
Yes, some coordination with those new features would be really good.
With what Chuck is asking, I think it's more of a coordination between you, Derek, and Tim, because it falls under the TSP, and how is the city going to start, because of Walgreens, you're going to have to now designate Coos or Benton or Douglas as the major street.
Collector or arterial. Or
correct. Yeah. To rechannel folks to the newly constructed 10th Street.
Yeah, I mean, the local people know that that's where you turn to get down, around, do different things to avoid the 10120, but the other people are not going to figure out.
Correct.
I think that's going to be the biggest frustrating thing for Walgreens and for people trying to get there is they're not going to figure out how to get there. They're going to be turning left out here, and it's going to be a mess. So. But that's neither here nor there.
Anything else, Chuck? Well, I think this was a good meeting, and I was thankful that the Parks have decided to participate.
Well, a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is guys standing here saying, well, yeah, we can get this done. Yeah, we'll figure out how to do this. Yeah, if we can do that. We want to help.
Did that work for you?
Well, yeah.
John's really
the attitude is refreshing, and the presence is
So I think what he was saying is what we need to do is, and I think that the three of you are going to work on some of that, right? Get something to him about what we want.
Yeah.
You're on the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So you're sort of representing that committee, too, when we're talking about the signs,
Because he's not going to, until we give him something more formal or more specific or written,
right. He's going to provide us with that book that has the icons.
You want to wait until that book comes?
Well, we need to have that book. That would be, it would be good to have that book sooner than later, because that way we can tie into their specific features. I mean, we already know what they are, but being able to see them, we can say, okay, well, we can only do three, so here's the three main ones.
So we won't worry about anything with state parks until next time when he brings that information.
Well, he was going to get it.
He
was going to get it to us. He said he would get us a paper copy.
Yeah.
So if you could follow up with him and ask him, because they've got a little catalog.
Take
it's
a walk.
A matter of getting a little catalog.
Well, one of the other things that's happening, and Chuck knows about this, and John Allen, that I talked to about a long time ago, is the South Beach campground collects room tax because it's inside the city limits. So I don't really know how much room tax they collect. I can do a little bit of investigating that. But in prior years, the room tax that state parks collected was used for improvements in the state park lands that helped everybody, i.e. along South Jetty, on the north side of the bridge up here. So if we can kind of reinstitute that, we probably will see a lot more of these tourist sign related and improvements that can happen that help everybody in the city, but are on state park lands. So there's kind of a funding avenue there, because the state parks otherwise doesn't have the money to do those improvements. So especially in South Beach and Yaquina Bay State Park, as we continue to try to get more pedestrian things happening, that's the funding source that would help that. Right. It's definitely tourism dollars.
Yeah, and one of the problems with that is that when it was going to be reinstituted way back when Mark Jones was mayor, is where it stopped.
Yeah.
It was a combination of the county and the city both agreeing to forgive some of the room tax requirements by the state parks. In lieu of that, state parks would have Beverly Beach State Park relative to the county, and then South Beach State Park in Yaquina would agree to set aside a certain amount of money in a pool to do projects that not only would help the city but the state park.
Yeah, that were tourist related, tourist usage facilities.
And there was the agreement sits over in the county where it's been for 12 years with Wayne Belmont. Even if the county's not going to participate, we can get a copy of the agreement to move forward on it.
But it's obviously easier for them just to use that money and do things on their end than it is for us to try to do it back and forth.
And the very first thing that State Parks was going to do in South Beach was put a more formalized restroom at the South Jetty.
Uh-huh.
is that was, he said, John Allen's always said, well, the first year we get this thing set up, we're going to slap a restroom on the South Jetty, which
still hasn't happened.
Well, no, because he's waiting for the.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first little piece of the.
Yeah.
Forgiving
yeah.
the.
So it's a possibility of some funding for some changes there, and it's better for them to have the money because it's on their land. Yeah. They can follow all their own little rules, and we aren't doing this thing back and forth like we've been doing. So that's the better thing too. So I told him that we would try to work on that as a process for next year's budget.
Peggy, earlier this meeting you mentioned inviting ODOT to the Wayfinding monthly meetings. Why don't we do that?
I'm happy to do that. I mean, I feel like...
I can ask them when we have our meeting on August 10th. It's all the regional people that come. Mm-hmm. So I can ask them if they have a representative that can come.
That'd be
we
great.
We did have a couple people once. But
yeah.
And
it would be their local district manager maybe that would come. Right. And not necessarily the more regional
right.
people. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like today, for example, it seemed like things might be moving forward with state parks just because there was a body here, and he,
yeah.
you know, he was cooperative, and I think the same sort of thing could happen with ODOT, recognizing, of course, that they have mega process.
And Chuck's going to be nice to them when they're here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if we have a really, the more specific requests we have for them, I mean, we have to keep track of those really specific things that we want to ask them about.
What they want is they want us to hand them a piece of paper that has a list of what we want them to do.
Yeah.
And when you stare them in the face, when you stare them in the face and say, here's the things we want you to do, and they generally get those done pretty darn fast.
I mean, like this guy was totally cooperative. He acted like the things that don't cost very much, they could even do them right away. For example, the sheriffs.
Yeah. They could work with the city crew and do it.
They said that from day one when they're approached.
Yeah.
They're very cooperative. They have the same clients that what we have, and that's the visitors. I mean, the same people were, and as Claude mentioned, I mean, the visitors are a big part of it, but then there's the people who live here part.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just... of life.
You know, the South Jetty area is incredible to me. Every time I go down there, I'm just shocked how many people there are down there doing all different things. It gets really heavy use.
Yeah.
And why they haven't put more effort into creating, you know, accommodations for all those people is amazing to me, but I guess it's just my...
And desire. And
they could have a day-use fee there, too, like they do in other parks. There's people fishing, there's people sunbathing, there's people scuba diving, there's people... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing all the different things you see people down there doing.
So you want to meet in September? It seemed like we made pretty good progress and there's some momentum.
So I have a note, Greg, to I'll talk to Jim a little
not
bit about
really.
The budget.
No, you want to meet in October?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
What's going to be
busy
done
in September.
Well, we can follow up on some things, like
yeah.
the QR code. We can maybe deal with that. And we can also, once I get the icons from state parks, then I'll get them to everybody here, and we can start developing a list of exactly what we would like to see state parks do. They're going to give us the list of the icons with approximate costs, he did say.
I really like the monthly email when we don't have a meeting, even
yeah.
if the email just says we're not having a meeting.
And can you guys get a list
sorry.
Of the ODOT
I'll get better.
Before our next ODOT meeting so we have that connection?
The recording that Chuck made is put on our Y drive. I finally found it. I'll see what I can do to
Just find the
time to listen to it and write
just,
Chuck's
yeah,
comments.
Just the ODOT,
down.
Just
well,
the
it's
ODOT,
not my comments. Well, I mean, it might be made them, but they're. I mean,
correct.
We spent 3+ hours doing it.
Correct.
So it'd be nice to have.
Yeah.
Something we got a meeting, you know, so I would.
Just the specific issues we have with ODOT stuff, I think, would be really helpful.
Yeah. Well, I will send, Greg and I will talk at the beginning of each month, and we'll send out an update. I apologize for July. And we won't meet in September, but I think we probably should meet again in October. What do you think?
And the goal would be to have parking district people and...
Parking district people and Derek.
And if we don't have parking district people, we could at least have some kind of a report from them, what signage they're working on, what they're thinking about doing or they are going to do. Because that's another source of funding. You know, the parking districts have have their own funding system and they can pay for signs. There isn't any reason why they shouldn't be a cooperative thing.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we didn't have a great discussion on some of the signage on the bayfront, because that's an issue that's under discussion, but they're really busy right now.
Yeah. Do we even have that parking district? Have we appointed the people to that district?
Janet's on there. And
is Gabe on there?
I said Mercy.
We did appoint people to it, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
They've been meeting, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, have they?
Okay. Yeah. And if we don't have those reps here, we do need Derek, because he staffs those.
And they actually have money now, because the business license surcharge was charged.
I haven't paid mine yet.
Right.
Excellent. Thank you all.
Thank you, Peggy.
Yes, thank you.
No,
what is that? $100.
You're all welcome to come and celebrate Nicole's birthday
plus
at 10:30.
Yeah.
She's 90.
And each rental.
How old is she?
96.
90, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what else.
And then there's
commercial and residential rental.
Right in October.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's,
can you coalesce the two?
And Greg, you're going to work with Robin.
I will not answer that question.
Yeah, I'll.
Do you know the answer?
I've got Robin
contacted.
Come out and see us, too. Yeah. Across the bridge.
If you.
Come blow a float? Or
well, there is.
We've got a.
There is a source.
We actually, in Mark's office, somewhere down here is a little glass sculpture of the bridge.
Or if we did last year, donated to the city.
I think my daughter and son-in-law.
If you have all of your
rental in London, your place.
Nice. I don't know, but I'll
write it down.
Thank you.
Can I charge?
Does the city have an account
where I can just tell Ken?
Tell Ken to charge it to the city and have Ken talk to
him. Okay. Yeah.
And if Greg gets surly and refuses to pay off,
No, like she said, it comes out of my paycheck.
Okay.
And
list
the
business
license.
Oh.